Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.
You're listening to Kaya Biz here on Kaya 959. Yep, if you're wondering, it is a public holiday, Workers' Day here in South Africa. And to many of you South Africans who had the opportunity to take some time off, I hope that you've had a wonderful holiday. And as you can tell, since we started the show at 6 o'clock, we've been keeping you abreast of the latest news and developments that does influence not only consumer spending, but in a moment we'll also talk all things labor later on in the show. Tonight, though, we're keeping to the theme that we've been discussing. This month has been a phenomenal month in terms of spend. But beyond that, as we know, for all of us as South Africans, meat is meat and a man must eat. That's the popular phrase when it comes to the grocery purchases that we make. For every household, that's a critical line item and becomes very important because it is important for our survival. Beyond that, it also plays a critical role in the spending decisions that we make. The kind of brands that we might have grown a sense of affinity towards, the products that we might have gotten used to because we are very familiar with them, but also pricing and value becomes ever so important because that influences what kind of products, brands that we typically associate with or prefer to buy. This takes us now to a report, Nielsen IQ, also known as NIQ report, that gives us some insight into the private labels sales that we have seen in South Africa, but also from a global perspective. The report is titled Finding Harmony on the Shelf, 2025 Global Outlook on Private Label and Branded Products. To tell us more about this, we're joined by the Market Insights Lead for Sub-Saharan Africa at NIQ, Kelly McInnes. McInnes.
Yes.
Perfect, Kelly McInnes. Such a pleasure to have you, Kelly, and thank you so much for that correction.
Thank you. No problem. Thank you for me being here.
We're excited to have you. It's a public holiday, so highly appreciative of the fact that you've come into studio. But this conversation is one that I think is critical for all South Africans to bear in mind. And I actually want to challenge many of our listeners to ask them to send through their voice notes and let us know if they buy private label products. Do you buy the quote-unquote no-name brand or the house brand of a particular retailer? Because maybe this is going to be revealed in the insights that we're going to discuss tonight. Maybe let's just talk about this particular report, Kelly. I find it so intriguing because it doesn't just tell us what we're buying, where we're buying, but you've really got a full bird's eye view of private label products in South Africa and Sub-Saharan Africa specifically. Help us understand where and how you draw your data.
So from a Nielsen IQ perspective, we kind of look at the full view. So we want to know the full view. So this report that we've released now is based on survey data, looking for perceptions, how consumers are feeling about these brands, but then associated that with the actual data of the purchases of the private label brands coming through. Because from an NIQ perspective, we track all the retail sales across South Africa, across the regions.
So literally from the mascara I buy to the brown bread to
pretty much
the
everything.
Yeah. Oh my goodness.
We then process and code it and everything into sort of category specific, and then what we can do is then itemize it out and see private label versus branded products right down to item level. So it's you said earlier, labor of passion. This is also a labor of passion and something that we're really passionate about. Understanding what the consumers want is twofold.
Yeah.
What do they feel and what are they actually buying on shelf and what are they picking up on shelf? So looking at the two together gives us that really nice full view of the economy and how branded versus private label fares right now.
100%. As you say this, I was reading this report and I thought to myself, goodness, when I grew up, there were particular retailers who had private label products. I'll likely mention the brands. ShopRite had the red and yellow or red and white products, Spa, if I'm not mistaken, together with Checkers. But we are finding that there's a heightened level of private label products from a wider range of retailers now. So I'm also keen to understand, does this report also track how retailers have been producing more private label goods? Partnered with how we as consumers, you know, might have more options and actually tend to purchase them.
Yeah, so I think it's twofold, right? Firstly, the retailers have spent a lot of money into their private labels over the last few years. They've invested heavily in their private labels. I mean, if they think back to maybe 10, 15 years ago, a private label product was a substandard product, not necessarily something you had to have because that's what you could afford, but not necessarily something you wanted to have. And I think the perception of that over time has really changed the consumers feeling it. And that's because the retailers have spent a lot of investment in ensuring that their private label products are delivering value and are delivering good quality products as well.
I think that's so important for us to highlight, is that perhaps quality has shifted. It is a theme that we will get into in just a moment, but let's talk about the numbers. What does the study reveal? Are we buying more private label products as South Africans?
Yeah, so if we look at total FMCG purchases, we are seeing that private label is now 18% of the economy in terms of the total market. It is under-indexed in the likes of liquor, for example, and baby foods and that kind of thing, but we are seeing very high growth from the private label brands as well. Overall, private label growing more than double the branded products across many of the categories that we see. And we are seeing quite a lot of not only actual growth coming out of it, but perceptions are changing. So the consumer's saying, you know, many of them willing to 39% of them more likely to buy private label now more than ever. And that's on a base of those that weren't buying are now 39% more likely to buy and switch to it.
I want to go back to that 18% you mentioned just a moment ago. And it makes sense that it's under-indexed in certain segments. Like you said, I don't think of there's a no-name beer or there's a no-name baby food. So as you say, that does shift the metric. That 18%, what was it in a year ago, maybe even 3 years ago, so that we understand the comparison of the shift?
Yeah, so comparatively, it's because of this double-digit growth that has been seeing ahead of branded products. Mm-hmm. It's probably been closer to 10 previous, about 4 or 5 years ago, it was closer to 10. So shifting up, and it's a big economy to take that much space in. Mm. But if you think about it as well, it's not necessarily... It's the delivery, whereas previously you bought a private label, maybe you tried it once, you didn't like it. But now because the products are delivering, that repurchase is happening. And there are consumers that are actually finding that brand, that private label brand is a brand they affiliate with.
Yes.
And also one of the other things that they were saying is that consumers really coming through with is that they believe that because these private labels are backed by retailers, they're endorsed by retailers, they trust these brands. It's not like a cheap, nasty brand. Mm. It is something that the private label, that the retailers believe in, they've endorsed them, they believe their quality. So the likelihood for you to trial a private label is actually probably better than a non-known name brand, if you call it that. So, or B brands, as we sometimes like to call them.
Got you. I think this is so important because it actually helps us understand that perception of quality seems to have shifted. Contextualize that for us, because so often, as you said earlier, when someone bought a no-name brand, you thought, ooh, or you would also feel like it's an inferior product, but that has shifted and changed.
Yeah, so we sort of labeled that stigma to status. So in that study, we spoke about how private label used to have quite a high stigma to it in terms of being slightly inferior product. And you would, if you came home as a parent many years ago with the cornflakes that were private label, people would roll their eyes, or the children would even roll their eyes. And I don't think that's the case anymore. Like some of these brands really have done a lot of work in terms of the quality that they're putting into their products, showing a lot of growth, and they are now status brands. But what the other part of this that's sort of come through is we no longer only have a cheaper alternative private label. If you look at your private label, you have premiumized private label. So if you think about those brands that are, they are branded or private label brands, but they're actually almost more premium because of the quality that they deliver than the branded products. And there's a halo
around this. I'm tempted
to
ask if you can share an example. I know you can't share the retailer's name, but maybe of a product. So in my mind, I'm thinking, let's stick to food because it's more generic. I'm struggling to find one, but I guess they are, especially when it comes maybe to different variations of milk, maybe.
And by the same token, so like sauces, right? If you think about sauces and the range of sauces and cheeses and that kind of premium product. And when you've got a private label in a premiumized category, it's then okay to have a premium private label as well, right? So if you think about sauces, olive oils, you know, cheese products, that kind of thing come through.
Perfect. That makes a lot more sense. My mind as a woman automatically went to some beauty products because I'm aware that there's some retailers who have beauty products. And
loads,
they've
right.
been profiled to be of great quality, and we actually do continue buying. And as you said, that actually speaks to the brand attachment and I guess maybe even this halo effect and premiumization. And maybe we can just discuss that, especially when it comes to numbers, because I understand understand that there's a generational shift. Millennials and Gen Zs are often, you know, tend to see that some of these brands can be viewed as a premium product, even though it is private label.
Yeah, so I think that comes to, you know, when something delivers, the consumer doesn't care where it came from, mm-hmm. In the sense that if it's a branded product or if it's owned by a retailer.
Mm-hmm.
If the product has delivered, and, you know, one of our other reports previously last year identified that most new product developments, nobody buys something without checking on social media if it's done well. And we're not necessarily checking on the influencers, we're checking on everyday people.
Yes.
Did they deliver? Before you even make that decision. So you only purchase that product because somebody said that there was a really good product. And now if you start to hear a stream of they're really good products, you try it for yourself, it delivers. You don't really mind if it's a private label. Mm. And at the end of the day, that can be a brand that you become attached to.
Mm.
We also find a lot of people walking into other retailers asking for some of those private labels because they're that unaware that it is actually a private label.
Oh.
So I think what the retailers have done really well is they no longer sort of name them like a no-name brand.
Yes.
Or whatever. They've got their own what we call confined labels. So
yes,
it's a label that is confined to that retailer, but it is a brand itself, and they are identifying with that brand, and those brands are also showing some strong quality coming through.
I find that so interesting because you're right. When I think, I'll mention the brands of a Checkers, they used to call their brands no-name brands, and from what I understand, there's been a significant shift there. Even with ShopRite and Woolworths, they also have different names for their brands. Spar too. So that actually speaks to the power of, I guess, branding, marketing, and how they communicate what this brand is, who it belongs to, but the benefits that it also has for the consumer. Another benefit has to be costs.
Yeah,
how much of an influence has that played in the outcomes of the report?
Yeah, so I think what the South African economy has been under quite a lot of strain, and the consumers have been under a lot of strain even since COVID, right? And what we're finding is we haven't got any more money to spend, but what we have done really well is we've got clever about how we spend our money. So by having these options where I can still buy the product I wanted to buy, but it's a slightly cheaper alternative, mm-hmm. that's always a backup plan. And what we find is a lot of consumers really getting clever about how they spend their money, not just grabbing the first one on shelf.
Mm.
And they are sort of, you walk down those aisles, you see it every day where people are double checking the price of things, then they look at what's on promotion, what's not, and they are then offering a product that is maybe slightly cheaper. So we say branded products are on average about 26% premium to a private label in most cases.
Sheesh,
right?
That's a big difference.
It's a big difference. And at the end of the day, I don't have that much more money. So I've got to be clever about the way I spend my money. And one of those things that comes into that is your loyalty cards, right? So
yes,
when we look at like loyalty, last year we saw in another report that we did, loyalty cards is the number one saving strategy of South Africans right now, because we use our loyalty cards to save money either by getting a discount right now or saving up, you know, credits to use later, because at the end of the month I don't have any more money, so
right,
I need to use my points to buy what I need.
Kelly, I'm one of those consumers.
Yep,
as you said it automatically clicked, and I can think of a number of rewards programs. I probably have 5 in my purse that I'm part of and that I actively make use of those rewards programs for. You mentioned something so interesting, because I guess one of the key takeaways from this conversation is, of course, understanding brands and retailers specifically have expanded their private label products, shifted how it is that they communicate about these products. My colleagues in Njabulo just reminded me, like Woolies Water, Woolies Ice already
exactly
are seen as premium brands, right?
Yeah.
Whereas a few years ago, that didn't exist. And if you go to a few of the, not necessarily cosmetic stores, but also even the pharmacies, they also have a lot of their own toiletries or like Aquas Cream and many others and bio oils that you can actually make use of and use. What I'm keen to, I guess, conclude this conversation on is what the outlook for private label goods looks like, and just how competitive it will be to typical branded products that we also have become familiar with as South Africans.
So it's twofold, right? We need to find a way to sort of balance that harmony on shelf, because there's still a divide. There's
mm-hmm.
still 50% of consumers that are saying that a branded product has a better quality. And then if a retailer wants to make sure that they have every offering for your consumers, not to make them walk away from the shelf, because we kind of ask them in those senses, like, if your product is not there, what do? Mm. They walk away because I'm not going to buy something that I don't believe in. Mm-hmm. So I don't have enough money to repurchase that product. So what we do find is that there needs to be this perfect shelf harmony of branded products and private label. And the retailers need to work really closely with the manufacturers of the branded products in order to make sure that they have a perfect tier available for the consumer. Because at the end of the day, the joint venture is to provide every consumer an option to purchase that category.
Got you.
And that's how private label has also helped the branded products, because by enabling consumers to come into a category for the first time, they're expanding the category. They're getting people more exposed to the category. And maybe one day they're going to trade up to the branded product.
Got you.
But they've got to start somewhere. And if that price barrier to entry is too high, they're not going to come in.
Got so. And an example of that, as you said, is perhaps moving from sunflower oil to olive oil.
Exactly.
But you won't buy the premium brand, you'll get into the private label and then grow. So that particular growth in that category.
Exactly.
Can we as consumers do anything about this, just in terms of shifting the needle and making these demands within retailers, but also manufacturers and FMCGs to say, hey, such and such a store, have you considered this or this product or that?
I think we pay by our pockets, right? We vote by our pockets.
Yes.
So if we're voting and backing some of these private label brands, they're going to keep expanding. And well, that's what we've seen over the last 5 years, is an expansion into multiple categories. So if we think about it, pet food, there's lots of space to go for private label. And the more we are backing private label, the more that's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But by the same token, there are some products that you still want your brand that's got heritage with you and everything. So I think all we need to do is pay with our pockets and show the retailers exactly what we want. And they'll follow suit, because they're looking at the data every day trying to figure out what's next. What does my consumer want? How do I give the consumer all the options available without flooding the shelves?
This is so intriguing. Kelly, you have a phenomenal job. I can imagine the kind of data and insights that you look at. Everything from cornflakes to milk,
everything,
to bread, to various types of aqueous cream, pet food, and even makeup and cosmetic products that we also see from many of these stores. It's really quite intriguing to see how private label is growing as a market in terms of products, but also that we as consumers are also shifting our approach to them and actually spending more on some of these items. Thank you again for your time.
Thank you very much for having me.
Fantastic. We look forward to a follow-up on this conversation and seeing what the trend does reveal going forward. A big thank you to my guest this evening, Kelly McInnes, who's the Market Insight Lead for Sub-Saharan Africa at NIQ.
Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.